The following is an interview of John Anderson, Emeritus Professor of Physical Education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, conducted on December 21, 1978 in Middleton, Wisconsin. The interviewer is Mark Van Pelt, Project Assistant for Dean John Palmer of the School of Education of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Okay, well, I've lived in Wisconsin most of my life, in fact, all my life, except for a short period of time when my mother and father were in Minnesota. Both of them were teachers before they got to this stage of in the university area. And my dad and mother's first teaching position were in northern part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin, north of La Crosse, Galesville. And then my father, after he got his degree, advanced degree from University of Chicago, having gotten his bachelor's degree in Madison, he moved to Stoughton as a superintendent of schools. And at that particular time, I was in kindergarten and first grade. That seems a long time ago, but that's the story. And then he moved to assistant state superintendent of schools under John Callahan. And then when he was invited to join the faculty at the University of Wisconsin, at which later time he became dean and established the dean or established the School of Education.
Now, was there, if you know, a fairly integral tie between the Department of Public Instruction and the School of Education at that time? Because that seems like a fairly unusual way to come.
I think only to the extent that Department of Public Instruction had jurisdiction over the teachers of the state, in the sense of the word, or there was a tie in there. And I'm quite sure that the members of the faculty who were involved with so-called teacher education also had some connection with the Department of Public Instruction, because I recall certain faculty members who were liaison. They worked between the Department of Public Instruction and the university in their particular field. One in question is Dr. Warren Southworth, and when it came in the area of health education. He was, in fact, in the department in his area, in the Department of Public Instruction in his area. Okay. Before he came to the university.
Your father came to the Department of Education before it was a School of Education.
Correct, that's right.
What role did he play in developing the School of Education?
Well, I believe he has, I can't tell you exactly what his philosophy was in terms of the School of Education, but he was interested in the training of people and teachers, which the university did not have at this time, specifically to School of Engineering, as an example, or the College of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. And I feel that he wanted to establish a like discipline for teachers, so they would be in their own bill of exposure, so to speak, to preparation for prepared teachers going out in the town.
Do you know what his attitude about the role of Wisconsin at Madison as opposed to Platteville or a place like that should be?
I can't verify this, but it would just be my opinion that the role of the Madison campus would be for high school, general high school, and elementary teachers. At the time that he was given the opportunity to establish a school of education, the other colleges or other campuses in the state were more of a specific kind. Whitewater was business. Oshkosh was mathematics. The Stout Institute was industrial arts. So they had their special areas that they emphasized. And I think he wanted to bring it, though they didn't bring in the special areas to the Madison campus, they did train the general, as I would call it, the general high school and elementary teacher.
Do you know of any special influences, shaping influences on your father's thought in terms of his philosophies of education?
No, I don't. Because at the time that this was just being established, I was still in grade school and or just getting ready to go into high school, so my interest at that time wasn't involved in the higher echelon of education.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me perhaps something about his relationship with the faculty in the school of education once he became dean? And do you know anything about that? I know you were pretty young then.
Yeah. Well, I, as I recall, his relationships were outstanding. I remember reading an excerpt from a report that was made in which they became very personal in giving and citing this incident in which they said Andy was either a dean or a friend, and it didn't make any difference whether he was on a professional status or a friendly status. His relationship with people was the same. So I believe this sort of tells that he was thinking about his faculty. He was always thinking about his faculty. He was always interested in his faculty, and he would always stand behind them. Mm-hmm. And the relationship person to person was very clear in my mind.
We were talking earlier about this progressive education influence, and if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin High School was part of a special study conducted by the progressive education people. What was your father's connection with this?
Well, the only connection here was that he, Wisconsin High School being the training school, the first training school for prospective teachers in the School of Education. And any new innovations or new ideas would be tried out in that school with the faculty members in the School of Education, and the teachers who were preparing to become teachers would have an opportunity to practice these in that school. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it outgrew itself. The school outgrew itself.
Was your father a member of the Progressive Education Association?
I can't answer that. Other than the fact that the school was going in that direction, and he was the dean, I would assume that he authorized it in his position. But how much he had specifically involved himself, I don't know.
What was the relationship of the Department of Education, the School of Education, under your father's guidance, with schools in the surrounding areas, like in Madison and the public schools? Was there anything you can tell me something about that?
No, there wasn't a close relationship to my recollection until and I can't give you a date on this either, until Wisconsin High School outgrew itself as far as practice teaching, quotes, was in effect. Because then the public schools of Madison, in conjunction with the superintendent of schools, were willing to accept the School of Education student teachers in their buildings and give them the opportunity to try out their ideas and work with master teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at that time, Phil Falk was superintendent of schools. And I know that they work closely together in the School of Education. So this is how this developed, I'm quite sure, the relationship that the dean had with the superintendent of schools in Madison.
When your father was dean, there were actually two departments in school education, is that correct? There was a Department of Education and a Department of Educational Methods.
Yes, yeah.
What was his relationship with those two departments? Did he have any influence or say on the Department of Educational Methods and who they chose, or was he their dean?
They had a chairman of each department, Department of Education and Department of Educational Methods. And of course, those chairmen had committees within their department, but they were responsible to the dean. It is a more of an administrative responsibility, I would think. Though he did teach classes. Now,
you talk classes?
He taught some classes.
High?
Oh, no, I see what you mean. You're referring to Wisconsin High School.
But he taught classes himself
on the campus. Right, correct.
What courses did he teach?
You got me.
Did he have much to say about, or did he take the opportunity to say much about the people who were teachers of Wisconsin High School?
No, I think he left that up to the principal of the high school upon his recommendation.
Did your father, or what did your father do to push the School of Education of Wisconsin into sort of a national position, national leadership in education? Searching.
I don't know a specific thing that he did other than through his own publications and his office in the National Education Association. I think there's a... I have to check that out. But by making a name for himself, in the sense of the word, through his publications, through his associations with State Teachers Association and National Teachers Association, he was able to establish a precedent, let's say, or establish a name for the school to get the school of education where it is today, mm-hmm. at least start it.
Mm-hmm. Did he hold any positions in any of these national organizations?
He was president of one of them, and whether it was the State Association or the National Association of Teacher Education, I don't recall.
I know that during the period when your father was dean, the relationship of the LNS faculty to the School of Education was quite different than it is today.
Right.
what was your father's involvement in keeping that relationship going and seeing that it was smooth and that sort of thing?
Well, if I interpret your question, I think the faculties in the College of Letters and Science, where it was originally housed, the faculty who were that had the interest in teacher education, of course, were the ones who wanted to see something established, as well as my father. And
who were some of these people?
Well, I think Matt Willing, Orville Barr, Clarence Ragsdale, I imagine there are several others within special areas that I would hate to leave out, because they had just as much a part in it as the people I named.
Mm-hmm.
But the organization, the administration of it, putting it all together, that's hard for me to say, because I wasn't that close to it.
Uh-huh. One last thing, I think, to your father. Wisconsin got involved in an elementary education mm-hmm. program in the early 50s and studied this topic in the late 40s, I know. Was that something that your father had hoped would come about? Was that something that he wanted to see Wisconsin get into?
I think originally the picture was secondary education, but realizing the significance and the importance of the training of teachers at the earlier levels
mm-hmm.
to prepare them to get into the upper area of teaching was essential. I think this probably brought about the attempting to initiate and follow through on a program of elementary education, because
uh-huh.
he brought in special people, as it naturally being done, who were masters in these areas. We were master teachers in these areas, and administering programs to develop the program.
So he tried to bring people in who were competent elementary education
people.
But hadn't begun the work of organizing them into a departmental
right.
structure.
See, actually, as you pointed out a little while ago, there was, when the School of Education originally started, there was just the Department of Education and the Department of Education Methods. Well, now if you look at it today, it's grown tremendously, because you have art and art education, you have physical education and dance, you have the home economics division within the School of Education, that's in the College of Agriculture. All of them, they have their own college now. And business ed, in addition to elementary ed and their special ed. So it's grown considerably from its beginning.
Okay. Next time.
Well,
why don't you, we were just talking about your background and your family.
Well, I went to Madison Public Schools from third grade on, and to the University High School, which was part of the School of Education. And I guess originally I had the idea that I wanted to be a civil engineer. and to build bridges across trestles and so forth across big ravines like out in the Colorado Rockies and Grand Canyon and so forth. But as I got into high school, a gentleman who I respect very much and perhaps influenced my life more than anyone else was Professor Russell Rippey, who was then the athletic director of the high school and the coordinator of student teaching and taught classes in the professional program in physical education on the Madison campus, in addition to being an assistant coach of the university football team under Harry Schulder. And he got me interested in just through physical education classes and the kinds of things that he did and the respect that people had for him. He got me interested in sports. And so I participated in sports 4 years in high school. And so doing, I became interested. Well, I guess I'll change my thoughts on my profession. So I said, I want to be a coach and a teacher of physical education. And through his efforts and developing my interests, that's how I got into physical education. You know, there's a little more to this story. After I had finished participating in sports in high school under Professor Rippey and went into physical education on the Madison campus, he also taught classes there, so I had him as a teacher in various activity areas and in methods of teaching and so on. And then after graduating and gaining experience in the field, I was invited back onto the Madison campus as an instructor and became a co-worker of his on the campus. So I had him first as a coach, second as a teacher, and third as a co-worker, which is, I think, rather unique.
Mm-hmm. When you say you were invited back, do you mean that literally, or were you applying for a particular position?
No, the department itself was looking ahead and wanting to increase its staff. In fact, it had to increase its staff because of the enrollments. And
this is after World War II, or?
Yes, well, it was 1945, 46 in that era. And the head of the department at that time, it indicated that
who was that?
Professor Robert Nohr, N-O-H-R, said that he'd like to see me on their staff and wondering if I would be interested. Of course, I've always liked Madison, and I liked the staff that was present there as teachers, so I was very happy to be considered as a candidate for the position, and I got it. One thing I think in my favor, perhaps, was the fact that after graduation I had experience in all levels of teaching and administration. I taught first in Sheboygan Central High School, then I was supervisor of elementary physical education in the Sheboygan Public Schools. And I came back to Madison in the mid-40s and was athletic director and teacher of physical education at Madison West High School. And from there I jumped to the Madison campus. So I had experience at all levels, and this is the kind of thing that they were looking for, because my main responsibility to begin with was supervision of student teachers at all levels.
Backtracking a little bit, could you speak about your experiences as a student at Wisconsin High School?
Just so I gather information.
Yeah. Okay, you were just saying about your student experience at the University of Wisconsin's Wisconsin High School. First of all, who was the student body for the Wisconsin High School? Maybe we can start with that. Where were they drawn from?
They were drawn from all parts of the city, but I would say that the major percentage of the student body were the sons and daughters of faculty members of the university. Not totally 100% true, but most of them were. Some of them came from outside the area of Madison, like Wanakee, for instance, Middleton. But most of them went to the public schools in those communities. Our class sizes, as an example, in University High School was not over 25 or 30 at the most. And we had the benefit of the, here again, the master teacher that I referred to before, because they were the methods instructors, teachers, professors, whatever their rank might have been, in the School of Education. And then they taught the classes in their particular area, whether it be French or science or history, art, music, physical education, and the like. And the student teachers came over and had their opportunity to get their feet wet. Mm-hmm. The one thing I remember very vividly was the fact that in some instances, not in all classes, and I don't think it was necessarily true in the so-called academic classes, that sometimes there were more practice teachers in the class than there were students.
How did that make you feel? Or how did the students feel about that?
Well, I don't recall that that there was a specific feeling, because on any particular day, if there were a number of student teachers there, when a particular student was to take charge of the total class, the rest of the student teachers became members of the class then, and they helped out where necessary, helped the other teacher out. And so they were learning just like the students were, really, in that particular subject matter area. They would get some help there. Now, whether this is was the right way to do it, but under the circumstances, when you have so many student teachers in a room at the same time, I didn't really notice it that much to make it an issue. But that was the offshoot of that was the, as I mentioned before, the moving of a majority of the student teachers off the campus from the University High School into the Madison Public School. And this was a big step.
When did that occur?
I would say in the early 50s.
Fairly late.
Yeah.
When you mentioned before that when you were in high school, you participated a lot in sports. Mm-hmm. Can you tell what the nature of competition was, or how this was organized for you, since the school's in a special position? And
it wasn't any different than it is nowadays in terms of various leagues that you see. For instance, you have the university as a Big Ten, an example. You have the Madison schools that compete against each other. We were in the league that competed with Stoughton, Fort Atkinson, Sun Prairie, Monroe.
So you weren't part of the Madison league?
No. We only had about a 375, 400 at the most, if it was that much, enrollment. And so we were in the smaller class schools. All the Madison schools were Class A schools, which is based on total enrollment. And in this way, well, we played against them occasionally. I remember playing against Madison West. but not in the league. We played, in the league that was of our own level of ability, so to speak. So any given day, I suppose a small town school could beat a big Class A school, but it was just that it was set up this way by the state association on enrollment levels.
Perhaps you could just briefly narrate some of the things that you've done in the School of Education since you came on the faculty, in terms of committees or things that you participated in of significant events. I know in checking your file that there were some things, but I don't think it's very complete.
Well, I have been on some state association committees. I was president of our state association for a year in 1959. Well, I have been on some state association committees. I was president of our state association for a year in 1959. As far as committees in the School of Education is concerned, or I should say physical education, maybe physical education is what we're really referring to, our curriculum committee, the library committee,
during what periods?
Well, I guess I'll have to sort of backtrack a little bit. In our department, the committees that were appointed were pretty much standing committees. So once you're appointed, you just continue on a committee year after year, because then you could build on the kind of development that you wanted. And in the later years, I was on the making up the new curriculum for the merged faculty of the men and women department. Plus we had everybody, all the entire faculty was working on the program, and there were several committees. Maybe you were probably in two or three different committees that we were working on.
Which committees do you feel that you, as an individual, contributed the most to, or that you felt
probably,
you were able to contribute?
Yeah, probably in the area of curriculum and activity, because one of the courses I taught over the years was the curriculum course in physical education. I taught the methods course, and then I taught several activity courses that would be brought into the picture, either in methods or in curriculum. So in this way, I think this is my major contribution as physical education is concerned.
A lot of the things that you've been talking about are about teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The university is well known for its publisher-parish approach.
I got involved in that too.
How did that happen? How did that develop in your department?
In our department, most of the publication or research or parish was in terms of the graduate faculty members who taught graduate courses and did research. Those of us who were in the so-called service program, which I was not, but I was in the professional program, our loads were so heavy we didn't really have time allotted to us for research. And so that I was confronted with this particular problem relative to promotion, from instructor to assistant professor and then into your tenure spots. And I received my associate professorship in tenure. But then I was called in by the dean, and
Which dean?
Dean Fouts. And he actually told me, he said, if you expect to get a full professorship, you're going to have to publish.
This was about what time?
Late 50s. And so I said, all right, you challenged me. And during the time I was in the university, I also taught extension classes out in the, around the state in physical education to elementary teachers who had not had the training in physical education, but was in the position of being a self-contained classroom teacher and wanted some background. So I went out once a week, every other semester, and taught these elementary teachers or anybody who was interested in the field. And I gave assignments, and I found out that in their own schools, they didn't have the references to come back to that I would make assignments for. So I had to be a traveling library too. So that gave me the idea, well, my publication is going to be something that's going to be worthwhile to these teachers. So I came up with this book called Fun with Games. But it has games of all sorts for all ages, of all kinds, 2 to 4 people, active games, table games that can be used in the classroom, out on the playground, in the gymnasium, and that people could use. Because most of the publications you find, like basketball books, just on basketball, or tennis, it's just on tennis. But this had a little bit about everything.
Did you find that the teachers really appreciated this?
Very much so.
Did you sense that you were being put under the same standards in terms of publication that, say, people who did the graduate instruction were? Did you feel there was a dual standard involved?
At the time, I didn't think so. But as I got involved more and more with the School of Education curriculum and instruction, when that was developed, I became involved because I had a dual appointment then in curriculum instruction and physical education. I realized that there was a dual appointment, one for one and one for the other, double standard.
Within the Department of Physical
Education? Within the School of Education, those two departments.
Between curriculum instruction and physical education. Right. Most of the things you've been talking about in terms of publication started building up on you in the late 50s and early 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's about that time that the School of Education itself splits into a number of parts.
Grade number, right.
Do you see this in some way, some sort of influence in specialization, or within your own department, is there where the influence in specialization grows?
Let's answer it in this way. When I came into the university and was hired, specialization was not important. Generalization was within the field. If you could do many things, this is the kind of person they wanted. And they were training a person to be many things. Now, when we got to the point where we established a doctoral program.
Which was in 1960?
60, I believe, in that neighborhood. Then specialization became very paramount because there was, the doctoral program as well as the master's program was divided into areas of concentration. And people specialize. And you see it more and more today, where there's so much specialization in the field of physical education, sports medicine, for instance, biodynamics, curriculum area, psychology of sport,
I'd like to pursue this a little more, sort of in two stages. One, how did Wisconsin come to have a doctoral program in physical education at that point? What was behind it? Were there faculty people for it, so on and so forth?
I can't tell you really what brought about its development, other than there were the schools in the East, Columbia as an example, Chicago had, Chicago had a doctoral program or not, but the need for further research, the need for further study, the picture of physical education playing an important part in the total life of an individual necessitated gaining further knowledge about the field, and this required research and study, and there's a need for the people to administer it, to develop it. And the way that the educational system was running for kinds of positions that you wanted. For instance, I can recall a former colleague of mine went out to California to get a job. He had a master's degree. He was lucky to get in a secondary school.
When was this?
In the early 40s. You could not get in a high school, as an example, as a teacher without a master's degree. You could not get an administrative position in California schools without a PhD. Now, of course, in a special field, now this is my personal opinion, and it was also a philosophy of my father, that at that time, when I graduated, a master's degree was essential, but a PhD was not. Because a specialized field, you didn't have a PhD in physical education, you had a doctor of philosophy degree. But nowadays, it's a different, entirely different picture.
When the PhD program was initiated in the physical education department, how did the faculty feel about it? How did you feel about it? Was this looked on favorably or in other ways?
I think in general it was looked on favorably because they saw the writing on the wall. You're not going to go anywhere unless you have this kind of program. You're not going to be an established school. You're not going to be a named department unless you have such a program. And I think the fact that Ohio State is an example, Michigan, have doctoral programs, and so the other Big Ten schools that are equivalent to ours. But which is the better? For a while there, in recent years, when Dr. Balke came to our, and when we moved into our new facility out on the NAP, came in and established the biodynamics program. This was the first one of its kind in the country. And this was a big thing that was coming in. So this put us on the map. And this is what you have to do to get a name for yourself, have established programs that are recognized around the country and the world, and we've had people from outside the United States come and participate in our program.
Can you name any of the faculty who were especially strong in pushing for this doctoral program? Or
I think Dr. Leonard Larson, who retired, who was the director of our department, just retired about 6 years ago, was brought in here by the School of Education to establish a good doctoral program. This was his charge. And to my recollection, our faculty had nothing to say about it.
Does that bother them?
Unquote, yeah.
Was the university's physical education department heavily engaged in research, not just publishing, but in research before the institution of this doctoral program?
Only to the extent where students would do programs or individual faculty members would get interested in a project. For instance, I can recall Dr. Bob Francis doing some baseball testing for a big league on the resilience of a baseball. And he had measurements where he dropped the ball down on a marble plate, see how far up it would bounce, and he had a photoelectric cell to catch it and break the, so he knew how high it would bounce to see what the resiliency was. And he had makes from different companies, you see. And I believe the result of that was published, and the big leagues selected their playing game balls on the basis of that study. So this kind of thing was going on.
Were particular faculty people like Bob Francis especially known for their research efforts?
Yeah. Because he also did a study on, he had a grid, electric grid, with a wheel on it, and he followed a guard or a quarterback, or guard or a forward or a center, all over the floor on all the games and the teams in the state high school basketball tournament, and to see what the actual playing time and running distance in the length of a regulation game was for guards, forwards, and centers.
When did he do this research?
Oh, this was done back in the 50s, latter 50s. I think it was something like a 5 or 6 year study.
Seems very interesting. When, were there other faculty people who were also especially known for their research efforts?
No, because we were originally a sports activity-oriented program, and that's changed considerably in earlier years.
Was it very helpful for people like Bob Francis to do this kind of thing in terms of his position in the department? Or?
Oh, sure. He got national recognition for doing these things, and when you get recognition like this, people from outside hear about it. Oh, I want to go study under that person. And I suppose you have the same experience in the field, too. You want to work under a certain person or get right to it. It's all possible. And he was known nationally because he got himself involved outside of the department in national offices, in national committees, in state committees.
What sort of committees?
Oh, in committees that, worked on criteria for athletic fields. What makes a good athletic field? What size should it be? What should be the square footage in terms of the number of people that use it? What should be the candle power of lights in your gymnasium for adequate service? These kinds of things. They had committees on everything.
Were there a couple of particular organizations that these committees were being?
They were initiated out of the national office, the American Association for Health, Physical Education, and Recreation. And now it has its new name, the Alliance for Health, Physical Education, and Recreation. So that from, they did the publishing too, a lot of these things that were done. You'd send them in and the editor of the National Magazine would put it in the magazine, and if they thought it was good, they had a committee that edited the scripts, and if they thought it was good, they would publish it, so you'd get national billing in this respect. And lots of activities, different in all fields, whether it be in activity, whether it be in methods, whether it be in research, whether it be in curriculum, whether it be in supervision, whether it be in specific sports, all came through these publications to the national office.
When Wisconsin established the doctoral program, they at that time had a lot of people on the faculty, perhaps such as yourself, who spent most of their careers working on teaching and developing curriculum devices and that sort of thing. As the program became more developed, what was the relationship between some of the faculty who were not involved in so much in this publishing routine and then the research routine as to the younger faculty they were bringing in who were trained for this sort of thing?
Well, actually, some of the faculty who were already there in their special fields were the ones who developed the higher programs within that field. For instance, kinesiology. Both the people in the men and the women's department who taught those courses initiated the, and that were the names of Dr. Wolf and women's department. I can't think of the gal's name right now. She was and the same was true to when it came to physiology and physiology of exercise. Now we have one of the truly fine professors that we had in law school was Dr. Larry Larry, who was actually hired in the women by the women but worked for us. And he was a growth and development specialist in physical education.
And he came after 1960?
No, he came in right early. He came in almost when I did, right after I did, or when I did in the late 40s.
And then?
Then he, after the doctorate program had been established, he moved on to Stanford. And doing the same thing out there. But he was mainly the, along with Dr. Larson, I think one of the people that was behind the PhD program, probably more for it than other members, or everybody contributed, he was probably more than others in my recollection.
So that, so that you're saying that the PhD program grew naturally out of the faculty that were here.
And of course, it grew by hiring other people in special fields like in sports medicine, psychology of sports, biodynamics, physiology of exercise.
Right now, how were those people integrated into the overall structure of the department? That is, these were areas that the department probably did not have a lot of expertise in previously.
Right.
Was there a problem with the people who came in being expert and other people in the faculty having perhaps a problem in trying to judge their work or evaluate?
No, because they started slowly. And then as they needed it, they got assistant help. In fact, in some instances, they had to take some of the graduate students and make use of them in their program. Now, this helped tremendously. We had a couple of the graduate students, after they got their degrees, advanced degree, they came back and worked. in the thing in the department. Maybe they weren't given a full professorial rank or anything like this, but as an assistant or a, say, a teaching assistant or a research assistant or an activity assistant this way, and then they could go on further if they wanted to. Usually these are master's people and they want to work on their PhD or anything.
I think I'm going to ask sort of a question that's quite off the topic from what we've been discussing, but just sort of transition to some of the next questions. What do you feel is the position of physical education and higher education?
Let's go back a little bit in terms of the area by itself. Or the total life of a person. In my own opinion, and I think other people have the same opinion.
Within the department.
Yeah, within the department. That a person isn't educated in one area. And I'm speaking of physically, morally, mentally, socially. That you have to have an equal balance in all of it. And so I think that physical education is just as important as how a person gets along socially, how he gets along, what his intellect is, what his moral standards are. And I think physical education can play an important part in bringing these features out within the field itself.
Do you feel that attitude towards physical education has been fairly consistent within the department in the time that you've been here? Or has...
I think it's been fairly consistent.
Sort of related to that. I think it was in the early 60s, 1962, that there was a considerable amount of discussion generated over whether or not there should be a compulsory or voluntary physical education program. Could you relate something about what all that was about and perhaps how that related to your previous comments on it?
Well, let's see. There was at that time, I guess, the requirement was 1 year for girls and 2 years for men. That was required.
Had this gone on for a long time?
Quite a time, yeah. I just can't tie my hands on it, and you have to cut this out because I'm just...
I guess we decided next to discuss facilities of the University of Wisconsin, since facilities are the heart of this education program.
Well, the facilities, both for intercollegiate and for the general student body, as well as the professional student, was spread all over the campus. There was the lower campus itself, second floor with your basketball courts, and the third floor with the primary gymnastics. And for outdoor facilities, the intramurals area, which is the present intramural area, and then we used some of the football fields that were available next to the stadium, which presently houses the engineering structures. So, but from then, in the course of years up until, was it 67, I believe, we moved into a new auditorium, which has the Olympic-sized swimming pool and the four gymnasia, plus many additional gyms and study areas and classrooms. It is known as Unit 2. And there was quite a hassle in the construction of this in terms of priorities by the legislature and the Board of Regents as to who would have primary use of it. It couldn't be used, had be controlled by the intercollegiate athletics. It couldn't be controlled by a teacher education program. that had to be built for the entire student body to use, and that is the premise on which the building was permitted to be built.
What caused the delay in the addition of facilities since from the end of World War II onward, you needed obviously more indoor facilities than you possessed, and yet this was delayed and delayed and delayed. What was the
I think politics was in it, and also the funds were not available. That other things had higher ranking priority. Dormitory, a new high rise, improvements, renovations.
When you say politics, that's a fairly.
I'm thinking the legislature had, they were the ones that. I think I'm interpreting this correct. The one who controlled it, even though the university, with its committees and boards, tried to get it, they were the last ones who would say yes or no, we'll appropriate the funds for it.
Well, did the department maintain a sort of continual program of lobbying?
The department didn't so much as the university.
Within the department itself, was there a conflict concerning the nature of this new gymnasium that was going to be built?
Oh, no, we had more elaborate plans for it. We just didn't get them. We hoped to have Unit 1, 2, and 3 out there. Unit 3 hadn't been built yet. Unit 1 is the swimming pool. Unit 2 is the gymnasium part and the teacher instructing part and the other labs and the biodynamics and houses the whole program of physical education. And